Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. As COVID cases across the nation begin to ease ever so slightly, we check in for our weekly COVID update from here in South Dakota. Dr. Mike Wilde is Chief Medical Officer at Sanford USD Medical Center, and he joins us now. Dr. Wilde, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Lori.
I want to start with one of the big stories that people are following regarding COVID-19, and that's the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And that vaccine is a little bit different from the others. It's not a messenger RNA vaccine. Tell us a little bit about what you know about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine as we wait for the FDA to review the company's findings and grant or not emergency approval.
Yeah, exciting. No, anytime we have options, and it appears to be another, and of course the data will get reviewed by experts, but anytime you have an option, another option, that's great. More vaccine out there, great. The Johnson & Johnson, like you point out, because it's not an mRNA vaccine, it doesn't have the storage requirements, rather rigorous storage requirements, and transport requirements that we currently have. So it's a little more flexible, if you will. It appears to be a one shot and you're finished and can be stored. It's a little more forgiving. And it's going to be really the science behind it is using another virus that's not active in humans to get to present some of the material from the coronavirus to humans to activate the immune system. So I know I used a couple of big words there or spooky stuff around another virus and part of the COVID virus. But again, these are common methods that we know of in vaccine. And these are things that we know to be safe. We have full confidence in that it's not going to infect anyone or, you know, the science has proven side effects are minimal outside of the immune response. So looks to be another successful vaccine coming our way, hopefully.
Now, most of us don't have a choice about which vaccine we will take. If our, if we are offered the vaccine, we take whichever one we're being offered. Do you see that that one vaccine might be better for some people than is there any difference between the vaccines, or if in an ideal world would you make different choices for different patients based on what's available?
Yeah, those are good thoughts. If it helps at all personally, if you offered me any of the three vaccines currently in the setting of COVID, I absolutely would take any of them. I had to look in hindsight as to which vaccine I'd received because I frankly didn't care. I just wanted a vaccine. So the two that are currently out, the Pfizer and Moderna, are really, really similar. Just some nuances between the two, but the science between them is really similar. The Johnson & Johnson is a little different, like I'd already pointed out. In an ideal world, if you could match them to the populations, you know, you can make good cases for why the Johnson & Johnson might be really good for, like, a group-type setting because you only have to go to a place once. Maybe it's a long way to travel, and you can store the vaccine a little bit more easily. And so it's convenient from that standpoint. We also might use it more in the hospital just because, you know, once we dismiss someone from the hospital and we vaccinate them, we hopefully won't see them back in the hospital. So it can be tough to get that second dose. So it might be a good option there, but that's just purely speculation right now.
Right. Let's talk about efficacy. What do we know? We've maybe been a little spoiled with some of those high percentages for Pfizer and Moderna. We're talking more than 90% efficacy with those vaccines. What are we seeing with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine so far, and how does that compare with other vaccines as far as how protective is it from the virus?
Yeah, good questions. It's, you know, prior to, and I can remember meetings going back to last fall and summer where we were hoping for a vaccine that was going to be half or 50% efficacious, meaning preventing us from getting sick from COVID. We, in my opinion, got two just unbelievable home runs with vaccines that were over 90% effective. This one is probably going to come in at about 70%. I hate to use the term, it depends, but it kind of depends on how you look at the data. But it's still well above that 50%. And in the studies, it does appear that if you did get COVID and had the vaccine, that you had a pretty mild form, regardless of your risk factors and things like that. So if your goal is to prevent a COVID infection, that's a tall order. If your goal is to prevent hospitalizations, deaths, significant illness, those long-term side or consequences of having COVID, all three of these vaccines are just amazing. And hopefully the studies continue to show that, but we're really excited about any of the three.
Here in South Dakota, our hospitalizations, as you bring that up, are under 100. I think there's 97 people hospitalized right now. Talk a little bit about how we are doing here in South Dakota with our case rate and our testing rate. What are we seeing in the state that's similar to the rest of the nation or even different from what's happening in other states?
Sure. I would preface anything I say to really, you know, put my thoughts out to the 97 people that are currently hospitalized. This is a horrible pandemic that no one asked for, and we have, you know, a lot of us have really suffered through it. Life-changing events, lost lives, lost loved ones, and it's horrible. But as you go through humanity, frankly, there's been, you know, pandemics through the years, and it's, you know, we are part of our global ecosystem, and it can happen to us. And it's so I when I think about this, it would be nice to celebrate right now because we're not seeing as many cases as we were, but I can't, and we, you know, I just have a tough time doing that because there's still people that are ill and we're still very affected by it. But that being said, we are in a better place. We're seeing less active cases. We're seeing less hospitalizations. I think as science has really responded to this challenge of the pandemic, we have not only come out with vaccines, we've come out with practices around hygiene, and you've heard them all, but we've also come out with treatments, the monoclonal antibody treatments that we feel have been preventing some hospitalizations and significant illnesses. So on top of that, we've seen the virus go through communities, affect a lot of us, and could there be some lingering immunity that perhaps is really lowering our numbers here going forward? Is that going to be sustained? We'll see. But as we're seeing right now, what we've seen in the upper Midwest is, I would say, kind of a typical how I'd liken it to a flu season as it goes through the upper Midwest. We typically see a couple of months of a pretty good outbreak, and then it goes away. It really doesn't come back. And this is really just me speculating, but we have a pretty rural population that we don't have, you know, thousands and thousands of people getting together and spreading things. And so hopefully it'll kind of stay away and stay at a lower rate. Hopefully it gets out of here so no one's affected. That would be the best hope. Is it going to come back across the nation? We hope not, but we're watching. We'll see. But we're doing okay right now, but certainly thinking about those that are still affected.
Let's talk about, 104,915 vaccines have been administered in the state. And there has been some talk nationwide about whether or not that, you know, what constitutes enough vaccines to start seeing cases drop. Do you have any sense of why, you know, is it mask mandates in places like Sioux Falls and Rapid City? Is it, you know, so many people have already gotten ill? Is it we're getting better at the mitigation efforts? Is it that the vaccine is rolling out? All the above? Like, what are we getting right now is what I'm really asking you.
You know, frankly, what we're getting right is the good good people of the upper Midwest that are, trying hard to take care of themselves. And with that comes mitigation. It would be nice to mitigate without mandating. We all like our personal freedom. If a mandate makes sense, it makes sense, so be it. But people really did a nice job, in my opinion, of taking care of themselves and mitigating, and really want to stress the need to continue with that. We're not out of this yet, but hang in there. We hopefully will be. There's no right answer, and I've listened to experts across the country, and everyone prefaces what they say with, "There's no right answer." We just don't know yet why the numbers are going down like they are. Are they going to stay down? We don't know. But I think your comment about all of the above is, I would bet, is correct. Where we're seeing, every person that gets vaccinated, that's one less person that can get it. Every person that's had COVID, right now, we think, or at least within 90 days of the infection, they're immune. Hopefully that's longer. And so, as if I have an active case and I expose those around me, if they've all been vaccinated or were there within that 90-day window, probably not going to give them COVID. So the more of us that are walking around with some immunity, the less likely it is to continue to spread. That's the hope right now. But really, my message on top of that would be just hang in there and keep doing the good things that we're doing. It's easy to focus on, the number of cases and what people have gone through, but there's been a lot of people that have done a lot of nice work, and we're so appreciative of them.
Yeah. Well, this is my speculation, but I wonder, as more people in South Dakota, it seems everybody knows somebody who has died or been very ill or is still struggling with COVID symptoms, as a long hauler. And I just have to wonder sometimes if we got better at mitigation once it really hit home, for us, and it felt real in a way that perhaps seeing the news coming from New York or Detroit, maybe didn't. But again, that's speculative on my part. So I want to ask you a little bit about some of the other pandemic problems that we see because of this, and if you are seeing modeling about addiction and opioid overdoses and mental health crises, the things that are caused from isolation and economic uncertainty. What are you seeing, and why, or delaying medical care? What are some of the other medical crises that the pandemic is bringing out, and how are they? How do you have your eyes on them?
Yeah, that's something that, that's where a pandemic is another way that a pandemic is so tragic, because you have those that are directly affected with COVID, and then you have many, many more who are indirectly, and they're kind of silent warriors, if you will, in that fight as well, because the pandemic and everything that went on around it has gone on around it, whether it's, divisiveness amongst mandates and freedoms and shutting things down and opening things up and who's right and who's wrong. And that's really challenging. But, there's a lot of people that have had personal insecurity, business insecurity, future insecurity. And early data out of the East Coast was pretty telling about the substance abuse, whether it's alcohol, drugs, the depression, the feelings of suicide, the attempts of suicide, the delayed care, and at least a 30% increase in some of those things, 50% increase. What I do know here at Sanford, in Sioux Falls, for instance, we saw a 3 times increase in the number of patients in our facility with mental health needs. We also saw about that same increase in our staff being assaulted or struck by people seeking care. And that is, something that it is really challenging to work with. It has improved some, but each one of those is a person that has gone through a very traumatic event. And we've educated our staff and have done so even before the pandemic that that is not a part of your job to take things like that. But we really want to also try to work with everyone's safety and betterment. So we certainly are going to see a focus going forward, as we have already, a focus on mental health and mental health needs and getting that care. But also just really people, really a call to action for everyone to just, take good care of themselves, physically, mentally, as well as able. But people have been through a lot, and your points, your question's a good one, and I appreciate being able to speak about that.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about abuse on staff members and the trauma of that and mental health issues on the show in the coming days and weeks. So, Dr. Wilde, we'll leave it there for today. Chief Medical Officer at Sanford USD Medical Center, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, have a great afternoon. Thank you.